I was reading an article, and the title grabbed my attention. I thought, here's a news anchor who talks about a mission that she was on, and I'll tell you what her mission is in just a minute. But when she used the word mission, I recalled a young guy that we had in church, and he wanted us to develop a mission statement. And we never actually did, although I don't think he actually developed a mission statement. If you ever tried to write out a mission statement, it's not as easy as you might think to try to thoroughly grasp what your mission in life really is. It's something that you'll probably have to tweak. But Harrison Faulkner said her mission, let me just kind of read this. And before I read this, take your Bible and go to Colossians chapter 1. This is where I'm going to be going today in this first hour or 20, 25 minutes. I tell you, I thoroughly love singing first thing. It's just a great way to lift our spirits to God. Colossians chapter 1, I think Paul spells out a mission statement for himself. At least in part, if not in whole. And so before I read Harris's mission statement, I want to read what Paul has to say. In Colossians chapter 1, start at verse 24 and go down to verse 29 with me. And try to pick out as we read this, where Paul says his mission is, and perhaps what he's working toward, and the reward in the mission that he has. Now, that's three things. I know that's kind of tough, but just think through what Paul's trying to say in his mission. Verse 24. Now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the ages past and generations, but now has been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery, among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing every man, and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we might present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose, I also labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. I'll come back to that in just a moment. Now, she had a mission, and she made it public. And I tell you what, here's a news anchor going public with her spiritual mission. I was going to say, when I saw it, I was like, that's kind of refreshing just to see the title. Fox News anchor Harris Faulkner is a familiar face on TV, but what you may not know is that Faulkner is a so-called army brat. That's how she calls herself. She says being raised in a military family not only shaped her values, but gave her tools to succeed. Tools, she told CBN's Wendy Griffith, that are as important in everyday life as on the battlefield. Faulkner, who worked her way up through the ranks of Fox News, and her success as co-host of the popular program Outnumbered, which has led her own show, Outnumbered Over Time, which I've never seen. This is just a couple years ago, this article. She credits many of her accomplishments to their upbringing in the military family. She wrote a book called 9 Rules for Engagement. There's a picture of, I believe, her dad. And this is her as a little girl growing up as an army brat. She said, so I said, Dad, you know I have these rules in my life that I live by that I came by them from you and mom. Sometimes my friends would make fun of me because I'm just so disciplined and set in my ways. I'm like that. That's a part of how I grew up and really what I want to share with a broader audience, she said. Her book's first rule of engagement, recruit your special forces. So the first rule of her nine is recruit your special forces. Now, when I read this article, there's parts of it I really liked. But when I got done, there was just something that didn't quite set quite right. You listen and see if you can hear it. The Navy SEALs don't travel with 200 people. They wouldn't be able to execute the kind of tip spear missions they do. The Green Berets don't travel like that. They choose certain people for certain missions. And I think that's how life we have to be, she said. We become like the five people that we spend the most time with. Oh, we've got to be picky. You might have to fire a few people who don't belong in that inner circle because they can't help you be your best and further your purpose, Faulkner said. Faulkner believes her deep faith in God has also given her purpose in life. My mission in life is to get to heaven so people I have in my inner circle, I don't allow to do the rule breaking that we know as Christians we can't, she said. I just want to say, well, good for you that you have a mission that you want to go to heaven. And good for you that those inner five people around you, you don't allow to do the rule breaking that we held each other accountable. I like that idea. I think that's very helpful. But there's just part of that idea of her mission was to go to heaven. Now you might say, Dean, what's wrong with that? Why would you? Well, when I compare that and I compare what Paul had to say, I see a little difference. And I want you to think with me the difference that Paul had and that she had. I watched a guy on TED Talks. I don't know if you ever watched that, but I do. My boys get me to watch the TED Talks. And there was a guy up there talking about the military and about the Green Beret. And he was talking about several things that the Green Beret have to do and go through in their training. Physically demanding. And so you have to be physically, you know, in that top however many percent, top 2, top 3%. You have to be willing to do the training. And the training, I can't imagine. I had one guy in church one time. His name was Mark. He was in Ohio. He was not a Green Beret, but he was in the military. And he was pretty buff. He was a pretty big guy. And he was telling me one time he had to do a training on sleep deprivation. And I forget how many hours, but it was like 3 days to go without sleeping. So you might know the effects it has on your body. And he was telling me the story. He said that when, at least I think I get the right person. My wife thinks it might be somebody else. But when he was getting ready to get his award, after you get done with sleep deprivation, he's standing getting dressed so he could be suited up to receive the honor. And then he looked down at his t-shirt, because he wasn't quite ready getting dressed. And he realized he had this wet spot on his t-shirt. He had fallen asleep standing up, and he had drooled down on his white t-shirt. I mean, it just takes the utmost out of you as they go through their training. But the guy in the TED Talk said this: the Green Beret are not looking for just a person who can physically go through the trial, who doesn't have always, they have, must have a certain IQ to do their mission, and sometimes it's pretty high on some people. But that's not exactly what they're looking for. They're looking for the individual who can pass the physical test, as has the IQ and the dedication to finish the training, but when he sees his comrade not making it, stops and helps him finish the training. That's what they're looking in the Green Beret. And that's what Jesus is looking in for you. Sometimes we come to church spiritually immature. Me too. On my bad days, I just want to go to heaven. On my best days, I'm working to get you into heaven. We don't love Jesus because he went to heaven. We love Jesus is because his mission wasn't to go to heaven. His mission was to get you and me to heaven. We as Christians need to develop in us not just that we want to go to heaven, and not just the five around, although surely we're going to be close to some more than others, that's natural. But my inner goal, the deep spiritual mission that Paul was on, was not for Paul simply to go to heaven. When you watch somebody in a race, and you may have seen this, I've seen this a few times in my life, where somebody in the race, they fall, they trip, they get hurt. And then you see something special happen on the race. And man, when you see it, I mean, it just grabs your attention. Someone stopping and picking up their fellow runner and helping them cross the line. That's Christ in that person. And that's what we have to develop when we come together, meet together, potluck together that we missed. That we want to develop in each other Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mission that Paul was on. He wasn't just trying to get to heaven. He was doing everything he could to help as many people as he could go with him to heaven. And when Paul says this, I don't think it's an idle thing. I think Paul means it. When I read Moses in Exodus 32, and when he goes before God and he says to the people who are worshiping idols, golden calves, and he says to God, if you don't forgive me, if you don't forgive them, blot me out of your book too. He is a Green Beret. Spiritually, Moses, as humble and as good and as dedicated as he was, he lays down his life before God. If you're not going to forgive them, then blot me out of your book too. Paul, in Romans 9, he says, I could wish myself accursed from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Did Paul really mean that? Well, I tell you, when I get to the book of Acts and I get to the last chapter of Acts and I see Paul going to be a prisoner, house arrest, it's not quite deep prison as sometimes we make it. It's house arrest, but still, what's on his mind? Call the Jewish people. Can we set up a day that we can meet and I can talk? As many times as they beat Paul, 5 times, the Jews, his fellow countrymen, had many times they beat Paul. Could you come hear me one more time? I see a man who wanting to reach out as many people as he possibly could to help them come to Christ and go to heaven. No, I don't think these are idle words for Paul. I think he's lived these words. And, you know, when you start making comparison, you know, what have I ever done that could be a light like that? But that's who he was. Because he's following the greatest Green Beret. He's following one when Jesus was on the earth, did Jesus fire the apostles when they messed up? I read that in Harrison. Now, we need to keep ourselves accountable to each other. Don't get me wrong. I think that can be very healthy, and I need it. And you need it. I talked about this, I think, in one of my lessons. You know, we send our kids to school because we want them accountable, because it makes them better, right? Well, spiritually, why do people quit church? Well, because we don't want to be accountable. Well, say something. That accountability that I have to a church, that actually is there for my good, for my betterment. So we need that. Now notice, just kind of read with me again. Now Paul's never been to Colossae. He's not started the church. Another guy started the church, although he's converted a few guys that are there. That's interesting. But when he says in verse 24, "Now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions." I would never say that. Would you ever thought about yourself suffering? I'm suffering for Christ's sake, for his body. I don't always think in that terms. I don't know if you do, but I don't. But I know this, that if you have a mission that is very important, and when you're suffering to get that mission accomplished, you can endure the suffering. It's when we suffer and have no purpose with it is the hardest to take, isn't it? When you suffer and you don't seem to have some purpose for it, then I can't. Sometimes that can break me down. Paul knew why he was suffering. And it was for the body. It was for Christ. Verse 25. "Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the word of God." And they got to supply something there, right? Fully carry out the word of God. Fully the preaching, the proclamation, making it known to get it out there. And I think that's what we need to do, is get the message, fully carry out the word of God, get it out there. And that's on the inside and on the out. And this mystery, verse 26, which has been hidden from past ages and generations, has now been made manifest to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. His mission is getting Christ in other people. As a teacher, as a preacher, as a Christian, my mission in life, I hope it's yours too. Yes, we want to go to heaven, but we have to put Christ in people. That's their hope of glory. The end is that person. What would it be for you to know that you helped save some soul and you were able to introduce them to Christ, influence them to Christ, and help save their soul eternally in heaven? Isn't that a reward in itself? What a joy to know at the end of your life the people that you've helped get to heaven. As Moses worked so hard, and Paul worked so hard, and nobody worked harder than our Lord and Savior. And so I've got to put that in me. I've got to develop from where I, sometimes my immaturity, I simply want to go to heaven. But when I put on maturity, I come here not just to worship God, which I do, and sing the songs that we sang that are uplifting. And I really enjoyed that. But can I invest myself in other people? Do I love other people and care for them? Am I here for them as well as to worship God? How can I provoke to love and good works? How can I tell you what, I can't put Christ in you unless I do what? I put him in me. That's true. My concept of Christ has to be in me, and I've got to try to work him and be as him as the best I can And that's a high task. That's an incredible task. At some point you might give in and just kind of give up. But no. Don't give up. Look how Jesus patient he was with others, his apostles, who were not just spiritually immature, but sometimes just mentally and just physical maturity. They weren't there. He pressed on, not giving up, encouraging, exhorting, because he really loved people. I've got to develop, and you need to develop, a real love to people. And I do believe in a tough love. Sometimes we have to help each other be strong. But I've got to develop that in me. So Paul's mission in his life was indeed to help others. So I think if she would have heard this lesson, she would want to tweak her mission a little bit. And she would probably not disagree. I use it as examples sometimes. It's not that I'm being harshly critical. I do want to make distinction though. And I do want to grow. And I need to grow. I need to grow for him. Paul's mission, and that's not a picture of Paul, but I kind of liked it. My mission in life is what? What's the main thing Paul wanted to do? Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he worked and he labored and he suffered and he was fine for that, as long as it was going toward the mission. And I need to get my mission in life to be like that. And I hope that is the goal here. And that's my goal while I'm with you. And Lord willing, I want to be here for as long as I can. I feel so incredibly blessed to be with you. Thankful to work with elders. I'm delighted to work with elders. And I need coaching just as anybody else needs coaching. So, the mission. This morning, I've given you a mission. Paul's given you a mission. That what we're going to be about is developing each other. And you might be able to succeed in doing it yourself. But when there's Christ in you, you will turn and you will help that other person cross the line. Would you pray with me as we close? Our Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer. So thankful, Father, for the day and for our hour and for our life. We're thankful, Father, for Jesus who was with you, who was willing to come down on this earth and walk among men, training and teaching and loving us as we mess up and fumble and make foolish decisions. We're so thankful, Father, for your patience and kindness and goodness. Father, we pray that you put that in us too. We pray that you would put your goodness into us, that we might be a conduit, that we might be able to pass that on to other people, that Christ might live in us and live in us in such a way that we can help sacrifice ourselves for others. And it's to your glory, O Father, that we seek to do this. Help us to throw away our own lives, our own petty desires, and my own selfishness. And may he live in me. And may he live in me in such a way that I can truly help others come to you. We thank you, Father, for the church here. And we pray for the eldership, that you bless them, and the deaconship too. And for us as members, that we might honor you this day. Help us to wear Christ in such a way that the world may know that we love each other, and that we love you, and that we reach out and our love to all men. We thank you, Father, for your goodness. In Christ's holy name, amen. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God, and you've heard the message about Jesus and what he's done, and you're ready to make a decision to follow Christ, to put on Christ, to repent from your sins, to turn to him, confess his good name before men, and be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, wearing Christ from that point on for the rest of your life in helping of others. We bid you come forward while we stand and while we sing.